Great. Well, Happy New Year, as I say. What I want to do is look briefly at the year ahead, and if you're visiting, bit of an apology here because this is going to be a bit of an in-house talk, but hopefully you'll draw something from what I've got to say. And of course, we can't know what's in the year ahead of us. If I told you this time last year that these three things would have happened, Brexit, Donald Trump becoming president of the United States, or Leicester City winning the Premier League, none of you would have believed me. I wouldn't have believed me. You know, it's extraordinary things. You know, the future is uncertain and the future is scary. But if we walk with Jesus, the future is exciting. Well, as you've seen from the amount of bits of paper that have already been thrust into your hand, I've been busy. What does a vicar do all day? Well, one thing he does is he produces pieces of paper, designs leaflets and handouts, which are designed to tell you about what is happening. So I want to share with you some of the things on those bits of paper and some of the joys and challenges of the year ahead. And I want to share our verse of the year for us as a church, because we have a custom in this church. We have a special verse for the year. Now, one thing you can do to make your vicar really happy in 2017 is when you're given pieces of paper in church, take them home and read them. Take them home and read them. Look at them and kind of put things in your diary and stuff. But let's have a look at what you've been given. First of all, this, the new notice sheets. Now, it might look like the old notice sheets, but there's a subtle difference, because last year, down the right-hand side, it said, transforming our community, equipping all saints. This year, it's got the five marks of membership. The five marks of membership are the five key areas that we can all be involved in the ministry of all saints. Worshipping together, praying together, sharing together, serving together, and giving together. So that's just a little week-by-week reminder of what we're about. And inside, you'll see, at the top there, we've got the All Saints vision, to see the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. And on the back, for the next few weeks, we're going to be featuring stories of transformation, individual transformation. Today, we've got Gillian's story. Gillian is being baptized, renewing her baptism in a little while. And that's her story. Nice picture of Gillian. And we're also going to be having some other stories. And also, we are going to have some stories of community transformation too. So it's all about transformation, which brings me to the second piece of paper, which is the preaching program. And you'll see it says, Thy Kingdom Come. Now, Jesus taught us to pray, Thy Kingdom Come. And it seems to me that Jesus doesn't expect us just to stand around waiting for the kingdom to come like we're waiting for the number 50 bus to Bournemouth. That is not the way it's meant to work. We're meant to actively pray in the kingdom. So what we're going to do between now and Easter is we're going to be looking at different aspects of the kingdom and how we can get involved in praying for it, in growing the church, in repenting for our nation, in healing and miracles, in blessing our community. We're going to be looking at some amazing prayers in the Bible and some amazing prayers in the Bible, people like Daniel and Abraham and Elijah and Paul and Jesus, and also some contemporary stories of transformation too through prayer. So it's going to be very exciting. All the details are on that little flyer. Okay, what about the rest of the year? Well, actually, this year is a special year. It's the 500th anniversary of something. Can anybody tell me what is the 500th anniversary of? The Reformation! Thank you, Caroline. Yes, yes. In 1517, a German monk called Martin Luther stood up to the might of the corrupt church authorities and made it clear that salvation was not by works, but by the grace of God alone, and that the Bible was the source of authority for God's church, not what some bishop or cleric or someone else said. You go back to the Bible. So we can't let this year pass without mentioning that. And if you think that history is boring or irrelevant, trust me, it's really exciting. It won't be boring or irrelevant. It certainly won't be irrelevant, because the history of the Reformation is actually our history too. It's the history of our faith. It was a key moment in world history. Okay, what else is happening? Well, you've all been given one of these big dates for 2017. Now, this is kind of a bit of a guesstimate about what we're going to be doing for the rest of the year. God could always move this around, couldn't he? But this is my best guess as to what we're doing first. And as you can see, the first thing is today, baptisms. Craig, Gillian, Nick and Sergey are being baptized or reaffirming their baptism at Old Well Swimming Pool after the 10:30 service. Do come along. And if you want to, stay for lunch as well. It's going to be great. A quick run through of some other highlights in the next couple of months. First of all, on the 26th of January, we are interviewing for a new team rector. And friends, we need to be praying. In fact, we're going to set aside the 21st of January, the Saturday before, as a special day of prayer for the new team rector. And if you think the identity of the new team rector is irrelevant, think again. The different churches in the Anglican team tend to run as kind of, you know, sort of slightly separate entities, but actually the new team rector could be enormously helpful in bringing the kingdom of God to our town, or actually not much use at all, or even really obstructive. And we want the right person. And if we don't pray, we'll get an unprayed for team rector, which is no good to anybody, is it really? So Jesus says we're to pray in the kingdom of God. Let's be praying for him. It's actually the two people, they're both men who are up for selection here. So please do pray. We'll be praying especially on that particular day. On the 26th of February, we'll probably know who this new team rector is if one of the candidates is selected. And we're having United Team Service. Now, by United Team Service, I'm not talking about the United Service for all the churches together. I'm talking about the four Anglican churches, St. Mark's, St. Mary's, St. Nick's, and us, okay? And it's going to be at St. Mary's. It's going to be a bit of a kind of compilation item. We're all going to have a hand in it. It would be really great if we could all turn up to that and not regard it as a Sunday off, for a couple of reasons, really. One is that God has really been bringing the Anglican team together in a really good way in the last year, and this is a good way of marking it. Another reason is because I suggested it. So if I suggest it and you lot don't turn up, it's all going to be very embarrassing, isn't it? So please, please, please turn up for that. We won't be having an 8 o'clock service that day in any of the churches. There's just going to be one Sunday morning service that day for all the four churches. Okay. Right. 4th of March, something very interesting, exciting is happening. It's a Saturday. We've got a half-day conference called Living the Last Week with a guy called Kristen Forster. Kristen Forster is the son of Roger Forster of Ixthus, and he's going to be taking us through the whole of Jesus' last week and Jerusalem in a very interactive way. It's really interesting, and explains how all those bits of the Bible fit together. And then on the 22nd of March, we've got our second quiet day, second All Saints quiet day. Last year, Margaret Williams led a wonderful quiet day for us in Sandy Holm. We're going to do it all over again. It's brilliant. Do get it in your diary. As you can imagine, I especially need it because I'm hardly ever quiet. So this is one really good opportunity for even the vicar to be quiet. Come back to that in a minute. 8th to the 13th of April, super exciting this is, Spring Harvest. 120 of us are going to Spring Harvest. And it's going to be really great. I say we're going to be praying for it on Monday mornings. But we come back on Maundy Thursday because on Good Friday, we've got a Good Friday play. It's this kind of second, if you like, passion play that we've had. David Nunn has written a fantastic play called Fit for a King. And we are going to be putting it on, not just us, but people from different churches. It'll be in the Methodist Church, but it's going to be our Good Friday event on Good Friday morning. So do not to be missed. Okay. The idea of me putting all these things to you in one piece of paper so you can take them home and put them in your diaries. Please put them in your diaries. Okay, lots of good stuff happening. How about some challenges? Well, one challenge might be money. Ian Bandy, our treasurer, advises what our target for giving should be at the beginning of the year. And every year since I've been vicar, God has provided what we've needed to stay solvent as a fellowship. And every year we've actually beaten the target, usually by a few hundred pounds. This last year, All Saints was £3,000 below target. Now, if that sounds like a train smash, it isn't really, because what is that God gives us what we needed. And it turned out the team as a whole didn't need quite as much money as we thought. And actually, what we've given has resulted in a small surplus for the team. So thank you, Lord. But for this next year, there is a bit more of a challenge. Let me set it out for you. In 2015, we gave £93,000, just over. 2016, we gave about £88,000, which is a bit odd because more people were coming to church than the year before. But anyway, that's what happened. But I think, you know, God just provided what he knew we'd need. But next year, we need to go back to the 2015 figure, which is actually equal to 2 years ago, but 6% above what we gave last year. Now, we just put all that before you and say, please could you go and pray about what we give? Because I've never been part of a church that doesn't pay its way, and I don't intend to start now. But the church is not about money, but a fellowship that doesn't get its giving right, that kind of drags down everything else that happens. So we need to be praying into that, reviewing our giving. But one thing we also need to be sure of is we're spending money wisely. And all the churches and the team are going to appoint a steward, not a treasurer, but somebody who can help people with planned giving and also to make sure we keep spending under control. And so we use our money wisely. And this is going to be going in front of the committee on Monday, but I'm pleased to say that Bob Burke, where's Bob? Here he is. There he is, there's Bob. Bob has kindly agreed to be nominated as steward for All Saints. Just one other challenge to tell you, we need a new treasurer for the whole Anglican team. Ian has done an amazing job as team treasurer for the last 3 years, but it's not a life sentence. He's due what lawyers call remission for good conduct. So we need a replacement from April. If you have the expertise and the time to be treasurer for the team, please have a word with me or Ian. Ian's put the accounts and the finances in an amazing shape. Can't pretend it's not a demanding role, but it's in good shape. It's a really vital one though. And so please, if you think you've got the expertise to do this, please do have a word with me or Ian. Actually, God blesses us in unexpected ways, and through very unexpectedly. At the back, there's some notice boards. That's an important notice board because it's got lots of statutory notices, rotas, all that kind of thing. We had one there for years, and it was falling apart. And I noticed the other day, I said, we've got some new notice boards. Where have they suddenly appeared from? Well, it turns out that actually they're from Keith Horder. He put them up, replaced them, which is great. So thank you, Keith. And the other good news is, I've known this for quite some time, really. I've always had a plan that we would replace the blue notice boards. And so we had got a much bigger display area. It was going to be quite expensive but they're also actually in constant danger of collapse and therefore a health and safety hazard. I mean, genuinely, they are in danger of collapse. So the good news is we've been given sufficient money to renew our notice boards by a trust called the Erskine Mutant Trust. So we hope to have some lovely new notice boards at the back and around the side of the organ in the next few weeks at no cost to us. So thank you, Erskine Mutant Trust. That's great. But, of course, none of this is of any value unless we're basing what we do on God's word in the Bible. And I always try to share with you different ways to start reading the Bible. I've got three for you this morning. And the first one is that I've redone a couple of the Bible reading plans I prepared before and we've used in the past. One is this one. It's the New Testament in a whole year. How to go through the whole of the New Testament in 2017 at less than one chapter a day. And you can pick them up, you can pick it up, start any time you like. And the other one is the whole Bible. Have you ever wanted to read through the whole Bible in a year? Now you can with the exclusive All Saints Bible reading plan, which takes you through the Bible chronologically. So if you'd like to pick those up, they're going to be on the. You can pick them up on the way out, give them a try. But this last year, I've been using this actually, the Bible in 1 Year app. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet or a computer, you can use this. And you get some three readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Psalms. And also you get a commentary from Nicky Gumbel, who devised the Alpha Course. It's really great. I found it really helpful in the last year. You can use it any time, really. But the other definite blessing this year, they've changed it. So you can actually have the Bible read to you by David Suchet. And you just press the button, and there's David Suchet, otherwise known as Hercule Poirot, reading the Bible to you. So it's really brilliant. It costs absolutely nothing. It's free. So, give it a go. And can I just say, if you try this, and please do this, do have a Bible reading plan. If you miss a day, don't beat yourself up and say, oh, I'm a hopeless failure, Lord. I'll just stop. Just forget the past and, go on and read into the future. Because even if you miss a day, and hands up, even the vicar misses a day occasionally, all right? What happens is you'll find if you've got a Bible reading plan, you'll have read much more of the Bible at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year, okay? Right. Finally, I want to talk to you about the verse of the year. We have a custom in this church to have a verse of the year. Come on, what was the verse last year? Hands up. Tessa. Very, very good. Give that lady a gold star. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And last year, the Lord did do a whole load of new things and some old things in a new way. How about this year? Well, I had a verse in mind, and then two different people pointed out this verse to me, and I thought, God is saying something here. So this is the verse of the year. We've read it this year already. One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A bit like last year, but just kind of one step forward. It comes from Philippians 3, one of my favorite passages in the New Testament, a passage I chose for my induction service here at All Saints. And you can imagine how this sort of these sort of verses would appeal to the activist in Andrew Cork, you know, forgetting what lies ahead, pressing on towards the goal. And some of you are saying, yes, yes, I want to be involved in transforming the community by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes. And others are saying, Andrew, just listening to you talking about this makes me feel exhausted, you know. And to be honest, I don't blame you. My lovely wife, Anne, sometimes she says, you make me feel exhausted. Pity my wife, Anne. You know, pity Anne. Just before Christmas, I felt God really speak to me about what pressing on towards the goal will mean for me this year. And I think maybe for all of us. Now, God was speaking to me about prayer and speaking to me personally. I think it could be applied to most of us. So I thought I'd share some of it with you. Here's a part of what I believe the Lord said to me. Andrew, the reason why prayer is so vital is that as you pray, you come to know me better. You need to know my mind and heart. As you grow to know me better, you will see the kingdom come, because the kingdom does not come by striving, but by resting. That does not mean, by the way, that you don't do anything. I have plenty for you to do this next year, though not as much as you think you ought to be doing. But there is plenty to do. It is simply that it is all accomplished from a resting position. That is, you are resting in me. Now, of course, you find this hard. How long have we been journeying together, and how long have you been striving to accomplish this? Of course, you know the answer. Your favorite Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. So I want you to keep stretching and striving and straining, but at the same time resting and reflecting and reclining. The more you rest, reflect, and recline in my presence, the more I will empower you to stretch and strive and strain. And then you will discover that I've done it all before you even knew it. It's the start of a new year. We have huge challenges ahead of us, not just talking about finance, but in seeing the kingdom of God come in power through the transformation of our community. And we're making a great start for people being baptized, renewing their baptisms. But the Lord doesn't want to wear us out. He wants us to rest in him. He wants us to spend more time in his presence and then watch him do all the work. That's just a huge challenge for me personally. I find it always much easier to do stuff for God than to rest in God and let him do it. But I believe that's what we're all being called to do, and me in particular. I believe it's a pattern for all of us in God's people at All Saints for 2017. Can't pretend it'll always be easy, but it's the only way to do this, to reach the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the only way to see God's kingdom come in God's way. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be exciting and wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to our new year together. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you call us to stretch out for the prize, but Lord, you also call us to rest in you. And Lord, I pray you help me as the leader of this church, and you help each one of us to strive and to strain and to stretch, but also to rest and reflect and recline this year. And Lord, may at the end of this year, we see your kingdom has come more powerfully and more clearly, not because we've done more, but because you've done more. Amen.